bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter and Tiny Tim Jones. And tonight, a very special appearance, a guest appearance by mighty Casey Willett. Yep, he's back in Baltimore for a couple of days. So you've been warned. Tonight, the Orioles and the Tigers in game two of a four-game set. Tonight, Justin Verlander takes on Kevin Gausman. Gausman tonight looking for a sixth consecutive victory. Buck and Rock, when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, last night, 7-5 loss, two rain delays, two more. Chris Tillman, two-plus innings. His ERA is up to 8.10 now, and I know you were kind of asked afterward if there's anything specific that you can point to or that he might have mentioned that caused a problem last night. As far as you know, and as far as he's saying, it's still not, it's not a physical issue, it's just commanding the fastball?
That's correct. You know, he obviously, you know, Chris is frustrated. We are. It's very unlike him to have these struggles after 15 starts. And, you know, he certainly wants to pitch well. And it's just not happening for him consistently this year. And that's been a challenge for him. But physically, I'd like to, you know, have some – I know he'd like to have some peace of mind. Everybody would, probably, about reasons, because we're all in the why business when you have the track record. But physically, he's fine.
Having the six-man rotation, does that give you – options moving forward with him, as far as whether you would skip a turn or something else, or right now do you just see going, staying the course, I guess?
Yes, it does give us options, that's for sure. We need to get back to a four-man bench. You know, it's a challenge for us today with Mancini. Real sore from last night, getting hit on the kneecap, right below the kneecap. It really puts us at a, you know, at a little disadvantage, especially that's one of the problems you have with having the six starters. But you know, it is what it is, and we'll try to figure out a way to get through it.
So with Mancini, is this kind of a day-to-day thing with him then?
I hope so. I hope so. You know, you basically take a sledgehammer, hit it off about 2 inches below your knee, and we felt like he would be pretty sore today. But, you know, it's something that best serves him to take a day. Hopefully at some point he'll be available.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, looking back again last night, Miguel Castro, career high, six innings, one hit, no runs. Is he presenting himself? And I know you keep, every time a long reliever does really well, you're asking about possible rotation, you're asking about with Richard Blyer, but is he presenting himself as a starter option maybe too soon this year, but certainly going into spring training next year?
Well, you know, I try to keep in mind, you know, it's you put a guy in a come-to-the-rescue mode. He was a starter originally, and that's how we were using him in Bowie, and he has been up to 70 pitches. So last night was not really a real stretch or anything. He, you know, the development of his third pitch has been, you know, Roger and him and our minor league people have done a good job of getting that where it's serviceable for him, had good shape on it, good command. You know, some people would say, hey, it's 7-0, and they kind of shut it down. But I don't look at it that way. Those are very meaningful innings for us to pitch, and you could see him grow with confidence each inning he went out there. But and they hit four or five line drives that were caught and some balls that almost went out of the park. But, you know, I'll take the finished product. And most good starts by starters, you'll be able to say some of those things happened. But, you know, Miguel is, you know, he's been a starter by trade, and Toronto decided to stick him in the bullpen and close him at, what, 20 years old. So, you know, keep in mind he's 22 years old, and you know he's. I know he wants it real bad. He's a real. He does everything possible. He's a smart guy, and he's very perceptive of what's going on the field. He knows right from wrong, and I'm proud of him. He's been doing a good job for us.
It's the big debate with him, where on one hand you're intrigued by what he might be able to do in the rotation, and you want to develop starters, but then you think, where would we be if we didn't have a guy like him in the bullpen?
Well, that's obviously the near thing, the now. But you know, I think it's always intriguing. You're always going to. It's just like you're going to take a shortstop, make him play his way off that position, center fielder, catcher. You know, they've got to because those are premium places. So always starters are at a premium. So we're certainly going to err on the side of making sure that someone's not able to start as opposed to relief.
Kevin Gausman on the mound tonight, one run in his last three starts. What's clicking for him now?
Well, I know you get tired here. It's command of the fastball. And when he gets the fastball where he wants to get it, the whole quadrant of the plate and all his pitches play up. And that's true with any pitcher, especially Kevin. And that's where he was getting some cheap outs early in counts. That's something that, you know, some of our successful pitching lately has been because we've gotten some outs early in counts and took advantage of counts around our favor and not let it run back to 3-2 and put it back in their favor. So, you know, that's something that, you know, we're going to look for again. Kevin's been pitching well, obviously.
Justin Verlander on the mound tonight for the Tigers. ERA and WHIP are up from last year, but he's still Justin Verlander. I mean, when he's on, what makes him so difficult?
I've command up a lot of pitches. You know, this guy's got a power curveball, the old-fashioned power curveball, a little slider, changeup's a good pitch, and then his velocity's up now in his last two or three starts. So that usually happens with a guy that you get further into the year. So you'll see a little crisper fastball than you've seen in the past, and obviously he's a great track record of being one of the best pitchers in the American League.
And finally, the first-round pick, D.L. Hall, made his professional debut today, Gulf Coast League. Two scoreless innings. Did you get a chance to check reports or take a little peek?
Yeah, I took a look at it. I talked to someone that said it was impressive and really liked what they saw, and we expect that. He's a good young-looking prospect with a good arm.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, Rock, thank you. Craig Gentry last night, a couple of hits, a couple of steals, and a couple of runs scored. Jim Hunter and Craig Gentry, here's a nice couple, when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Another hot and sticky night at Camden Yards, game two of the four-game series against the Tigers, and visiting with Craig Gentry. And Craig, one part of baseball that I don't think it's talked about enough is the art of stealing bases. The Orioles don't steal a lot of bases as a team, but that's a very big part of your game. You had two more last night. You have five, and you haven't even been here all year. Has that always been a part of your game?
Yeah, I mean, speed's kind of been my thing since my whole career, and so I take a lot of pride in that. I try to study and do things and pick up things throughout the game that'll, you know, obviously help me take the extra base. You know, I mean, last night it came up huge for a couple runs. So I mean, it's a big part of my game, and I think it it adds a new dynamic to the team.
All right, having speed is one thing, but the knack to steal a base is quite another. We've seen so many players in baseball. Bernie Williams, for instance, with the Yankees. Great speed, first to home, probably better than anyone. Just couldn't steal a base. Where along the way did you get that knack where you would then have the confidence that not only could you attempt to steal the base, but you may get there and steal it?
Well, I mean, you know, you learn things along the way. You pick up things off pitchers or, you know, pick up, like, little sequences here and there or just, you know, just, like, little things. And then, sometimes you just got to go for it, take a chance, and then build, you know, like you said, you build your confidence up and go from there. It's just like hitting. It's just like anything. You know, if you start getting thrown out of a lot, you know, thrown out a lot, you lose confidence and you might not want to steal as much. But, you know, if you can just keep your confidence up and know that's part of your game and just stick to it, then most of the time it's going to work out on the good end.
You say look for things and try to take advantage of things that you see. Your two stolen bases last night were both on breaking balls. So Joe and I on the air are thinking, Craig must either see something, either pick up a sign or maybe a tendency, and you stole the bases without a throw. Did you pick something up?
I mean, I can't reveal all my secrets, but no, I mean, you know, those situations, you know, especially the count, you know, you have an idea of what he might throw. And if they're at a certain time out there, you know, it's you're going to gamble. It's a good chance to gamble on it anyway. So, you know, with nobody out, you know, I'm definitely looking to try to steal third base, you know, especially with the heart of our lineup coming up. You know, they don't even have to get a base hit to score you. So, you know, that's big. And so I'll look for any possible thing I can, whether it's, you know, just what he's been throwing or where the guys in the middle infield are playing me and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, just anything I can, I'll try to pick up on it.
You know, that's a good point, because last night two runs scored on sac flies, which to me is also a very underrated stat. And along the game, all those add-on runs help. And here last night you're down 7-0, ended up losing by two, but the add-on runs got you back in the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got those seven runs out, you know, within the first three innings. And, you know, we were able to just slowly tick-tack a couple runs on here and there and actually made it a ball game, made them bring in their closer when it, you know, at the beginning of the game, it looked like it might be a blowout. So, I mean, those are huge. You know, it they made them use their bullpen and, you know, it just made them battle and all the way to the end. And it shows, you know, the fight and the resiliency in us.
You know, in spring training, Buck Showalter reminded everybody that don't pay too much attention to the opening day 25, although you were part of that. It's really the 40 in the organization over the course of a long year. You've been up and down a couple of times, but you're back now, and your return has coincided with this surge. So you never know who the spark might be. I don't know if you feel like you were the spark, but you're playing, and you're playing well. And, oh, by the way, the team is winning.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, you always, you know, you want the team to win. You want to feel like you're contributing in any way possible. And, you know, I'm just happy to be back here and, you know, just trying to do whatever I can, you know, whether that is still base or you know, or in whatever case that may be. And, you know, luckily I've put a few games together where I've, you know, I've played well. And, you know, like I said, I just want to help the team win and hopefully we can get this keep this little streak going.
The two times that you were sent back to AAA, did you have the confidence that you would be back because you know how much they value your game?
You know, I figured I'd be back at some point. I didn't know when that would be and in what fashion. But, you know, yeah, I know that they value some things that I can bring to the game that, you know, maybe some other guys can't. And, you know, at the time, we didn't need it. But, you know, I just knew that at some point that I'd probably get a chance to come back, yeah.
And now you're getting some starts against right-handed pitchers, and tonight it's Justin Verlander. This is a night where the Orioles need a bounce-back game. Five in a row wins, and then last night a tough loss, but right in it to the end. So this would be the day the hope is that you bounce back.
Absolutely. I mean, we're going out there every day trying to win, and so today's not going to be any differently. You know, we're trying not to put any added pressure on ourselves, but and we're just going to go out there and battle, and you know, like I said, just keep fighting to the end, and hopefully keep this thing going.
Right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards after another defeat. I'll tell you what, Jim. Kevin Gausman tonight took a very tough no decision, and the Orioles here tonight took a very tough loss.
Yeah, when you're in a pennant race and every game matters, and I realized, Joe, it was only 2-1, so the game certainly wasn't over. Verlander did a really good job, except for Tim Beckham and Manny Machado. He completely shut down the rest of the Orioles lineup and held the Orioles to two runs. And I've heard Jim Palmer say it so many times, if you want a good pitcher, get a pitcher that can get you through seven innings. And if you have a pitcher who can get you through seven innings, he's going to have a chance to win a lot of games because, as the Tigers did, they got him the four runs off the grand slam in the eighth inning. And as I watched Michael Givens in that inning, I think the big at-bat was Aducci because it was second and third and one down protecting a one-run lead. And it looked to me like he was pitching to Aducci to try not to give up a single to allow the Tigers to get a 3-2 lead. And he eventually walked him on a 3-2 pitch. And then he hung the breaking ball to Justin Upton, and before you knew it, it was a 5-2 game. But you're right. Gausman deserved a better fate. One run over seven innings. He's now allowed just two runs total in his last four starts, but nothing to show for it here tonight. And again, a heartbreaking loss because every game now, the rest of the way, today was the first game of the final third. You got to win more than you lose, and this one got away in the final two innings.
Well, Kevin Gausman, seven innings. Gave up one run. He allowed just three hits. He walked only one man. He had eight strikeouts. He ended his game with 11 consecutive outs. So, Jim, his last few innings were low-stress innings, and yet Michael Givens came out of the bullpen in the eighth inning. That was it for Kevin Gausman. Now, Givens has been sensational, but tonight it just didn't work out.
Yeah, he allowed a total of just two runs over his last 30 innings.
Yep.
And, Joe, you know, it really, it's just the modern game that we see day in and day out. Bullpens are built from the back to the front. And when you have a bullpen that has Brad Brock, Michael Givens, and then hopefully the closer, Zach Britton, in the ninth inning, the manager is going to go to him. And even though, as you pointed out, Gausman, 111 pitches, he probably could have come out to at least start the eighth inning.
Yeah, it's not always about the pitch count.
Right. And he did throw 118 pitches coming up an out short of a complete game in Texas in his last start. But it's just the game we play in, and Givens has been so good, no reason not to trust him. So he came on, and unfortunately, he had a bad night that got started with two blue pits. And that set the inning up, and then the little dribble out in front of the plate by Kinsler would have been better off if he hit it hard. They might have been able to get the force at third, but it acted almost like a sacrifice bunt, and the Tigers were on their way. But, you know, give the Tigers credit, Joe. They're out of the race, And yet they go to New York and take two out of three, and they've won the first two games in this four-game series here. So the O's now have to dig deep, try to get the final two, and head out on the road on a 5-2 homestand, which is going to be a make-or-break West Coast trip.
Now, talk about low stress. Kevin Gausman had a six-pitch fifth inning and then 17 pitches to get three outs, but he got him 1-2-3 in the sixth. And then he had a nine-pitch seventh inning. So that's what we mean by low stress. Yet, hey, Gausman did his job. Givens didn't. And they wind up in the loss column. Beckham certainly did his job, Jim.
Yeah, Beckham, what a spark for this team. Tonight he batted fifth. He was 4-for-4, hit a home run in the second to tie the game. And, again, what you like about Beckham, Joe, is the fact that he's using the entire field. He is 11-for-16 as an Oriole. And he has five opposite field base hits, including the home run he hit tonight into the bleachers in right center field. So a heck of a pickup. And he and Manny Machado, they had all the hits off Justin Verlander. Seth Smith did have a double off Verlander. So five of the six hits off Verlander. And that seventh inning where the Orioles had second and third and one down and couldn't score, those add-on runs that are big, 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 they didn't come out here tonight, and the Tigers win it 5-2.
Well, Manny Machado did hit a home run tonight, his first home run in his last 92 at-bats, but it made no difference. They wind up in the loss column here tonight. And right away, Kevin Gausman got the first out in the first inning, but then Aducci came up to hit, and suddenly the Tigers had a lead. Here's the 1-2 pitch, fly ball, left field, deep. Gentry backing up, jumps up, and that ball is gone in the first row. Gentry got to the back of the warning track, jumped up, timed it nicely. He just couldn't get to it. So that ball gets out. And for the second consecutive game, the Tigers have homered in the first inning. It's a 1-0 Detroit lead. Yep, Aducci, his first home run as a Tiger. That lead remained until the bottom of the second inning when Beckham came up as the leadoff hitter. But Beckham does have some pretty good offensive skills. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. This one driven out toward right center, deep. Backing up, Matuk. Backing up. Go! Wave it, bye-bye. Beckham has homered for a second consecutive game with the Orioles. He goes opposite field, out toward the bleachers in right center. And it's a 1-1 game in the second inning. Oh, there you go. That was against Justin Verlander, who gave up another one in the third.
2-2 pitch swung on and hit the right field. That ball has a chance. Back it goes, and that ball is gone. It's into the bleachers for Machado. And the streak ends. 91 at-bats without a home run. Machado goes deep, and the Orioles have a 2-1 lead.
Yeah, so Machado goes deep. Machado had two more hits here tonight. The home runs have not been there, but I'll tell you what, Manny, since July 1st, his batting average around .332. So he's been getting a bunch of hits. Well, tonight, he hit one out. Kevin Gausman, after the home run in the first inning, he sailed. He did walk a man in the fourth, but there was no damage done. In the fifth, he got him 1-2-3 with the help of Manny at third base. At line drive, Machado, diving catch at the bag at third base. Uh-oh. My goodness. A rocket hit just inside the bag at third base. And Manny was up even with the bag, with tremendous reflexes, diving to his right, caught the ball in the webbing of the mitt. And when he caught the ball was actually behind him. My goodness, what a play. Well, like we say, Manny Machado, like a vitamin, one a day, he makes a play like that. And that was in the fifth inning, and Kevin Gausman got him 1-2-3 and on just six pitches. Kevin came back with a 1-2-3 sixth inning, and then a 1-2-3 seventh.
Here's Matuk swinging a ball hit towards the middle. Backhanded by Scope. He goes down to his knees, gets up, throws to first, and he got him. Jonathan Scope, outstanding play. And on the hard hit ball towards the middle, he's able to get the man at first. And Gausman has a three up, three down inning. If it is his last inning, he retires the final 11 in a row.
Yep, and it was his last inning. And yep, he ended it with 11 consecutive outs. When he left, he got a 2-1 lead. Michael Givens came out of the bullpen in the eighth. McCann, the leadoff hitter, hit the ball softly, found a hole, base hit. Iglesias, he hit the ball softly and found a hole, base hit. first and second, nobody out. Kinsler, a comebacker, to put runners on second and third, one out. Aducci came up, he walked. Bases loaded for Justin Upton. Here comes the pitch. Upton, fly ball, deep left. Oh boy, way back. Gentry, wave it. That's gone. That's a grand slam in the eighth inning. My goodness. How'd that happen? And just like that, the Tigers are ahead 5-2. Yep, Upton, his third grand slam this season. And it made a winner out of Justin Verlander. Verlander tonight went 7 innings, gave up 2 runs. He allowed just 6 hits. He didn't walk anybody, and he wound up with 10 strikeouts. Now, the bullpen came on in the bottom of the 8th inning. Alex Wilson, he got a couple of ground ball outs, and then he went to work on Jonathan Scope. Fly ball, deep left center. Backing up is Matute. Backing up at the wall. He's going to jump up. He caught it. He caught the ball. He got to the back of the warning track and timed it beautifully. He jumped up as high as he could and came down with the ball. Nicely done. Orioles went 1-2-3. And then Bruce Rondon, a big right-hander, came out of the bullpen in a save situation. He struck out Chris Davis. Davis tonight, 0-for-4, 4 strikeouts. But then Beckham singled. He went 4-for-4 and eventually went to second base on a fielder's choice and eventually tagged out on a would-be wild pitch when the ball hit the backstop, hit the cement, the bricks, came back to the catcher, Hicks, who then threw the ball to third base, and Beckham was tagged out. They challenged it, but in New York, they said there was not enough evidence to overturn the call. So the out stood, out number 2, Rickard came up to hit, and that's when the game would end. And here's the pitch to Rickard, and there's a walk. Oh, he got him looking. Strike 3 called, little breaking ball, called a strike. Rickard can't believe it. And for the Orioles, just a very disappointing ending. And the Orioles here tonight in the loss column again. They had a 2-1 lead in the 8th inning, and then the grand slam. And then in the bottom of the 9th, it just did not go well. It did not. So the Tigers take the first 2. Same 2 teams again tomorrow night. Wade Miley will try to get the Orioles back in that win column tomorrow night. Jim Hunter, he's got Buck Showalter and some post-game information. We continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter at Camden Yards as the Tigers pull it out 5-2. The grand slam by Justin Upton in the 8th inning off Michael Givens erased a 2-1 Orioles lead and gave the Tigers a 5-2 lead. And they hold on and win it by that score 5-2. And this is shaping up as a missed opportunity night for the Orioles. Now, first place Boston, they are in extra innings at home with the White Sox. It's 2-2. Red Sox are getting set to bat in the bottom of the 10th. And Eduardo Nunez, who was picked up by Boston from the San Francisco Giants, hit a solo home run in the 6th inning to tie that game at 2. And that's where they are now as they go to the bottom of the 10th. Boston with a chance to walk it off. But the two teams immediately ahead of the Orioles tonight in the division both lost. The Yankees lost in Cleveland as the Indians pulled it out by a final of 7-2 as Trevor Bauer won. Jaime Garcia in his first Yankee start took the loss, so the Indians win it 7-2. So the Yankees slipped to 57-51. And Tampa Bay also lost. The Rays at home lose to Milwaukee. The final score there was 2-0. Woodruff, who made his first big league start, got the win. And Jake Faria took the loss, so Tampa Bay is now 57-54. The Orioles had a chance to gain on both, but that Justin Upton grand slam, the difference in the game, and the Tigers pull it out. So the Orioles, who went into last night's game with a chance to get back to 500, now once again are 3 below as the loss drops their record to 53-56. Meantime, Kansas City is at home against Seattle, and that is a big, big series because both Kansas City and Seattle are ahead of the Orioles in the wild card race, and the Mariners lead the Royals 3-2. That game is in the 7th inning. Now, the Angels, with the Orioles' loss last night, also now slipped ahead of the Birds in the wild card by a half game, and the Angels tonight are playing as well as the Orioles see the Angels ahead of them. That game is scoreless in Anaheim. Oakland and the Angels, that game is in the top of the 2nd inning. Well, a tough night here for the Orioles, and the usually reliable Michael Givens allows that grand slam. Givens, who had allowed just two runs total in his last 30 innings, allowed two soft singles to get that rally going. Then the comebacker by Kinsler, the out at first, the walk by Jim Aducci to load the bases, and then the grand slam by Upton on the first pitch of the at-bat, and the Tigers win it 5-2. Time there for the skipper now. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
Givens has been good for a prolonged stretch now. What would you see tonight?
Pitch well. You know, he's victim of a couple of broken bat singles to right field. You know, can't really fault him for that. Made good pitches, and, you know, they fisted him out over the infield where, you know, the joy can't get to him. It's just one of those well-placed balls. I think he threw one or two breaking balls the whole inning. That's how good a fastball he was carrying. Unfortunately, one got a lot of the plate there with the left fielder, Upton. But he obviously, like you said, he's been throwing as good as anybody. So he put a long list of relievers together. He's right there with them. But tonight, just beat him. There's a lot more of that game. We didn't really score two runs. That's probably more of the story. That's more for me anyway. Verlander's good. Unfortunately, we knew he was pitching well coming into it, carrying a lot more fastball than he had the first half of the season.
Bottom of the seventh, what did the umpires explain to you on the Joseph play?
Check swing. That's another one I've been talking about. You know, one of the things I've been talking about is having a couple of, reviews for check swings, because it's the one play it's impossible for the umpires to really know for sure. You know, and obviously the intent isn't to swing. You go by intent, it's pretty easy. You know, Jeff's a good umpire. He's trying to get it right. You know, I disagree with him, but, you know, it's a split-second decision. I'd probably feel differently if I was in the other dugout. But, like I said, we had a lot of other things that came into play. He's got a check swing. That's one of those. That's why I wish you had a couple to take 30 seconds. You know what's funny about it is, not funny, but if you look at a lot of replays of those over the course of a game, you can't definitively tell from a replay a lot of it, and that's probably some of the reason why. And it also makes you realize how tough a call it is. But, you know, we've eliminated so many things that irritate people, you know, and cause some stuff like happened tonight. But when you think about replaying it, I mean, can everybody here definitively say you didn't go or did go from the replay? I mean, it depends on how you judge it. If you judge it by intent, then obviously you didn't.
Not to belabor that, but did Nelson, was he told to? I mean, did they check to him? I mean, it was hard for us to see.
Yeah, okay, so you have to early. Yeah, he checked.
So they pointed to him, and he, okay.
Well, I know their dugout was asking him to. I'm sure the catcher was. I don't know. It's another little, there's so many, you know, you got it. A lot of the ballparks have the concrete back there. Balls come back. There's a lot of little things that add up. I mean, it's tough to fault a guy wild pitch like that, and you take off for third. You know, if he stops, he's out going back to second. Probably one of those things where he's probably safe, but you're not going to get that overturned.
But with Gossman,
he was really good.
Do you guys feel like maybe some of the patience you had earlier this season and sticking with him has paid off over the last three or four starts for him?
Well, I appreciate that thought, but, you know, the patience was because we knew Kevin was better than that, and, you know, some of the patience we've had to have with – not had to have, but want to have because of their track record. Kevin doesn't have a long one, but we know he's capable of better than that. There's a lot of things that, you know, he and Roger have been working very hard about executing location of pitches, and that's really what's changed. It wasn't – anything, I think he might be leading the league in starts now. I mean, there's a lot of good things that are going on with Kevin. Tonight was another example of that. He was really good. And it's just like, you know, I was thinking watching Verlander and him both, they gave up home runs and the next pitch are strikes and they get right back in it, where you see a lot of guys let it get away from them a little bit emotionally. And, you know, Kevin looked every bit the part as Verlander did tonight.
Buck, do you think he can get to the point where he's polished enough to get that pitch count down a little bit?
Well, you know, one of the problems, I can't tell you, and I challenge you sometime when a good pitcher's out there to count how many two-strike pitches are ticked off, just fouled off, and there's a reason why complete games just, I mean, how many are there a year? so many times you make a really good pitch with two strikes and they just tick it off. They tick it off. And that's one of the big differences in major league game and a minor league game. You got to earn everything. They're going to grind. And he had to think that he got through seven innings after throwing almost 30 pitches. I don't know what it was at the first inning. And he got right back in line there. And that was a challenge. But I've been really impressed how how Goss is holding his stuff late in the game, especially the last three or four starts. Seems to be getting stronger as the season goes on. His velocity, I mean, Michael's was as good as it's been all year this year, too. It's just unfortunate that he didn't get a better result for the pitches he made to the first two hitters.
I think that Mancini has a chance to play more.
We'll see. I asked Richie about that on the way down here, and he said it's a little too early to tell. It loosened up a little bit, got a little better as the game went on. I was going to have to pinch hit for Caleb there, his throwing hand. They just got an x-ray that was negative. So that's good news. And did do it. You asked me earlier. They did do an x-ray on Trey, and that was negative. So I'm not sure about Caleb's availability yet tomorrow, but if we'd gotten him, we're going to have to hit there. And we were contemplating using Trey also, but we're trying to stay away from it. We would have hit Castillo before him in any situation.
Beckham, how much of these last four games do you think is just the jolt you get from a new team, and how much of it is him?
We'll see. I think Tim, if you look at his numbers, I know it's one of the things that Dan was showing me during the process outside the ballpark at the drop. Got a new environment, first time guys change. I've got a lot of confidence in our environment and our. So I don't want to use the word culture, but his teammates, and it wasn't like I sat down and had some long, deep talk with him. He just wants to play, and he's going to get an opportunity here, and we'll see where it takes us. But so far, he's been really good. Obviously, you can tell he just seems real locked in a lot of areas, other than just his day to day. He's not going out of his way to fit in. I think guys are making his path easier, and we're getting return for it right now. But we'll see when some of the novelty of a new team and everything wears off. But what do you want? You'd rather it be this way. And I don't think anybody's going to be able to stay at the pace he's performing at right now, especially offensively. But I watch him in BP, and some of the approaches he's had, it allows him to hit the ball where he's hitting it, and he. He's running good, and we'll see. 27-year-old young man with some real pedigree.
Well, do you have to have a contingency plan set up already?
Pardon?
Do you have to have a contingency plan set up already because of those two guys potentially being hurt on the bench?
I think Trey is going to be tomorrow or the next day.
If Caleb's not available and Trey, basically.
We'll be prepared for it. Started the discussions a little bit before. What's wrong? Yeah, I got. Before we came down here, but I'll continue. I got to step back and kind of look at what went on in Norfolk. We came close to adding a pitcher today because of Castro's unavailability and the way their lineup's constructed. So that's another thing we're talking about. Whether we need to, we want to wait and see. Kind of roll the dice a little bit that Kevin would get us through five or six tonight, which he did more than that. Okay, thank you.
So about Showalter's post-game comments, Tigers win at 5-2 on the grand slam by Justin Upton in the eighth inning.